you don't know if violence is going to occur. I think we need to keep in mind that the protesters and those who did the vandalism and looting are by and large two different groups of people.
Peaceful protests are welcome. They're encouraged, actually.
Hi, this is WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, I'll speak with the mayor of Troy, Patrick Madden, about protests planned in that city and much more. And we'll talk with the chief of the Schenectady Police, Eric Clifford, who made national headlines on Sunday when he kneeled and marched alongside protesters. First, my interview with Troy Mayor Patrick Madden. Mayor, thanks for being here. First of all, how is the city doing under the coronavirus pandemic so far? We're speaking on Monday. The Capital Region Phase 2 is set to go into effect on Wednesday.
Right. Well, it's been a challenge for the small businesses here. We are a lot of mom-and-pop institutions, small restaurants, small breweries. It's been a challenge, but they have been very creative in finding ways to keep their clientele served. So we're all looking forward, though, to the day when we can reopen and modifying, you know, how we dine, how we go out to a restaurant. We're looking at outside seating. We're looking at a variety of options, and we're tapping into their creativity. It's been a long slog. We understand the reason for it. It's been effective. You know, we've brought the infection rate down. The death rate is down considerably. And we're just really looking forward to the day that we can reopen and do it safely.
What have the impacts on the city's finances been?
Well, the impacts are projected to be pretty significant. So we're going to lose a portion of our aid to municipalities, New York State's aid. We're going to lose a portion of our sales tax revenue. And, of course, our departmental revenue is going to be down. So parking fees, various building permit fees, things of that nature are all going to decline. The real challenge here is that we don't know how much they're going to decline. We can make some projections on departmental income, and we've done that. But sales tax and state aid are more or less dependent upon how well we reopen and how quickly those coffers are filled. We will take a hit. There is no doubt about it. Our preliminary thinking at this point in time, and again, it's just based on estimates because we don't know where all this is going to end up, is in the neighborhood of $6 million. So it's a pretty considerable hole for the city of Troy.
What kind of cuts are being considered or are advancing?
Well, we've made cuts across all departments in terms of expenditures outside of personnel. So we've cut back on projects that we were doing, the things that we hope to get done this year. We are not filling roughly 30 vacancies across the city. Those savings will get us partway there, and then we are looking at other options to cover the balance. Our last resort would be to cut staffing in any fashion, whether it be a layoff or a furlough. We are a service-based organization. We are already thinly staffed. If we are not, if we're losing staff, it's going to be noticeable in the quality of services that we offer. It's going to be noticeable immediately. So that is our last resort. I have to be optimistic that the federal government will come through with some assistance. I don't know how the federal government could turn its back on what will probably amount to be thousands of municipalities and school districts across the country that have been financially hurt by this. That would be a drag on our economy for another generation. So I have to believe, I'm optimistic that there is hope coming, and we're employing a series of steps that will buy us time to see if the federal government steps in with some assistance.
For a long time, the city of Troy was known for its budgets coming in the deep red. Are you considering any borrowing here?
We are considering borrowing only in the sense of money that is owed us. Or on capital projects. So money that is owed us As an example, we receive revenue for 2020 late in the year. So a good example of that is state aid. Most of that comes in late December. So if we can borrow against that receivable to carry us to that point in time, that it would be a good use of a borrowing instrument, and it would be paid back when those funds are received.
Okay. I want to ask you quickly about what Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin said on Friday, which was that the county can go ahead and reopen under his authority, that, you know, it had taken long enough with these pandemic shutdowns. Have you seen evidence of businesses in Troy going along with that, despite what the governor's office has said?
No, I haven't yet. We're in close communication with our local businesses. We have been since the outset of the pandemic, and we're working with them on plans to bring them up to speed as quickly as possible once we get the go-ahead from the state. So we, you know, everybody wants to do this right. Everybody wants to do get back into business, but they don't want to do it in a way that causes a spike in infections. They don't want to do it in a way that might be harmful to their clients or constituents. So we are, again, working closely with the business community, have been for quite some time. We look forward to the reopening, but we're not going to rush it. We're going to listen to the health experts.
I mean, did it surprise you that he said that? Had you had any conversations with him?
No, I hadn't. Hadn't had any conversations along those lines.
Let's talk about the school children in Troy. Schools have been closed, you know, for in-person instruction since March. Summer school is not going to happen, and a lot of services are being cut. So, what happens to the city's school children this summer? Where can they go? What kind of programs will be available to them as we get closer to a full reopening?
Well, part of that will depend upon where we are in the reopening process. We'd love to open the pool this year. We're making steps forward as if we will get permission to do that. We're putting the final touches on the fencing and the concrete work there. We're in communication with the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area, who will be running the operation for us. So we're acting as if it's going to open, but we don't know if it will or when it will. We will do what the state will allow us. So if it's opening a pool, great, we'll go forward with that. If it's cooling stations in addition to that, great, we'll do that. We will do whatever we can within the limits of state regulation regarding youth programming. We don't typically run a lot of youth programming ourselves. We work with other nonprofits in the community. So they, too, are guided by the state dictates.
It occurs to me we're speaking on June 1st. Normally, the Tri-City Valley Cats would be swinging back into action now.
Yep.
But obviously, sports are in limbo, and we don't know if there's going to be a Major League Baseball season, let alone a Minor League Baseball season. What kind of impacts will the potential absence of the Valley Cats have on your city?
Well, like so many other things, it's just a great meeting place. You know, it is a fun evening. It's an affordable evening. You run into everybody you know there. It will be a real loss to not have that this year. At the same time, I'm confident that if it doesn't go forward this year, that when we are in a position to reopen again next year, it will bounce back incredibly quickly. It's a real experience. It's more than just baseball, as most things are in Troy. I mean, the farmer's market is more than just buying fruits and vegetables. It's also a social gathering. It's an event. And same thing for the Valley Cats. We look forward to the day when we can get back to those types of interactions.
Mayor, your office put out a statement about some planned protests in the city. Now, we're speaking just after we saw things get very violent in downtown Albany on Saturday. What are you doing to prepare? What's your message to people who are planning to come out and protest?
Well, I'd like to make one statement with respect to the statement that we put out. We did indicate in that statement that we were aware of two events, one that would occur on this Wednesday at noon and another next Sunday at 3 in the afternoon. Information coming into us right now is that it will just be the Sunday event, that there is no event for Wednesday at noon, that there was some mistake possibly in announcing that. We don't know for sure. We will, until we get clarification on that, we will act as if there is going to be an event on Wednesday as well. So what we're doing is we're meeting with the protest organizers, opening lines of communication, making sure that our objectives are mutual and that we support them in this effort. This is an important protest. The protesters have important things to say, and we're certainly going to allow them to say that.
Are you looking at any sort of change to police policy in Troy based on what we saw in the George Floyd video or any other information that may be available to you?
Right. The technique that we saw employed in Minneapolis is not one that we do here. That's not allowed here. So we don't need to change that. So, no, I don't think what occurred there is impactful of anything that we're doing here.
Should businesses take any precautions from your point of view?
My understanding is, and I don't have a crystal ball. I can't say what is or what is not going to happen. And I think Mayor Sheen could have said the same thing. You don't know if violence is going to occur. I think we need to keep in mind that the protesters and those who did the vandalism and looting are by and large two different groups of people, and we should not confuse the two. Right now we're speaking with the organizers of the protests. They want to protest. They want to speak about the things that anger them. We want to give them that opportunity to do that. We want to give them that opportunity to do it in a safe venue. So I think there's no way of knowing whether others will come in behind them, which is what appears to have happened in other communities. We'll be prepared for that, but I know the protests are not intending to be violent, and they're working with their members and those who attend to be respectful. And be peaceful and hopefully to socially distance and wear masks as well. As far as the businesses are concerned, it's a judgment call on their part. We have no indication at this point in time that anyone involved in the protests intends to be violent. Everything is actually to the contrary.
Patrick Madden is the mayor of the city of Troy, New York. He's a Democrat in his second term. Mayor, thank you so much for taking this time.
Thanks, Ian. You take care.
All right, let's get to that interview with Eric Clifford, the chief of police in the city of Schenectady.
Thank you, Ian, for having me. I appreciate it.
Can you just take us through Sunday's protests and your actions from your point of view?
Yeah, we were fortunate to have already seen what happened in Albany, so we had the ability to better plan and prepare for it than the city of Albany was, unfortunately, for them. When we got word that there was going to be a protest rally in the city of Schenectady, and we took to monitoring social media, we saw that there were some people talking about bringing the violence to Schenectady. So we wanted to be prepared just in case that occurred to protect our businesses and our residents. We put together a really good plan. Members of the surrounding police agencies assisted us, which we are very grateful for. The protest started right on time at Veterans Park, and then they marched to the police department peacefully, and they held a peaceful rally. And we let it unfold. We gave a little bit of a discretion to them to march in the streets. We allowed them to take as much time as they needed. And after the first initial protest and rally ended, another one formed and continued to march around, and they came back to the police station. And they were in the front for a little while, and then they came around back. And one of the organizers asked one of our officers to speak with a boss, and You know, I said, absolutely, I'll speak. And what he basically said to me was, would you be willing to come out and speak to everybody? And he said, I think this will end peacefully if you do. I said, absolutely, let's go do this. And we went out there, and you know, we had a really good conversation. They asked questions, members of the group that was there. I gave the best answers I could. And then somebody in the crowd asked me if we would take a knee with them, and I said absolutely. And when I took my knee, officers behind me, they also took one. And it was a pretty amazing moment when that happened.
It's become, amazingly, a very loaded action to take in this country. We've been debating it for the last several years, going back to Colin Kaepernick. And not an uncontroversial choice for a police chief. So how did you decide to do it, and what do you think it means?
Well, I did it because, I sensed that it meant a lot to the people that were there to ask us to do that, and I felt that by doing it, it would show empathy that, I know what they're going through, and I recognize that we as a profession need to do better at what we're doing. And I actually did not really think that when we did it, it was going to have the reaction that it did. But it was almost like pulling the plug in an inner tube. You just felt the air go out of it, and that's kind of what happened when we all took the knee. And that was really the changing moment right there. They asked us to march with them afterwards. I said absolutely, and we all walked hand in hand around the block, and then we went to the front of the police station and had good conversations one-on-one for at least a half hour, 45 minutes afterwards, up to the point where one of the organizers actually came up to me and said, I think we've spent enough time here. Why don't you guys go inside so we can go? Because, there's always some concern that agitators will come and try to infiltrate a peaceful protest. And then you don't know, who's who at that point, because people can blend in together. So that that's kind of how we progressed throughout the day. And we were very very happy with the way that the evening unfolded. There was really no issues at all here in the city.
What was your reaction personally to the video of George Floyd's death?
Didn't take me long to, what was the first time, as soon as I saw it, I knew that, I'm like, this is not right. This is wrong on so many different levels. It was wrong what happened to George Floyd. He should have never, ever had that happen to him. It was wrong that the police officer thought that was appropriate. It was wrong that there was another police officer standing right next to him as he pled for help and didn't do anything. And there's so many things that are wrong with that video. I knew that in addition to George Floyd and the suffering that he must have gone through then, that this was not going to be good for our profession, that this is just going to set us back from all the gains that we've made. But, if there's a silver lining in anything, I'm hopeful that, small moments like we had yesterday might help us actually bring us together. And I even mentioned that yesterday that, if it weren't for George Floyd, this wouldn't have happened. So that's the only positive that may have come out of this is that, maybe we all start looking at what's going on and talking a little bit more. And, as a profession, we think that, we practice procedural justice. We do this and that. And what we're hearing is that, that's not enough, though. You need to do more. So, I certainly hear that.
Has that video caused you to rethink any of your department's policies or procedures, or have you issued any new guidance to your officers?
Not really. We've issued some reminders. I made it perfectly clear the day after I watched the video. I went to line up that morning. I made it perfectly clear to everybody that what's seen in the video is not appropriate. Anybody that is caught doing that in this department will be fired. And, and I asked all my supervisors to make sure that this is not occurring. And I don't think it is. we've been changing the way we've been doing things for as long as I've been the chief. We monitor every time force is used. We have a form that's filled out. They're reviewed by supervisors up all the way up to myself. I get them emailed to me, and I look at every one. And anything that doesn't look right, we look at a little bit closer. So, you know, the force that we use has gone down significantly over the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm not saying that we don't have to use force periodically, but, you know, we've already changed the way we've done things. So this instance hasn't had us change anything. It's just it's, you know, for obvious reasons, you know, it's made us look closer at everything to say, okay, let's just make sure that this isn't something that's happening here, because, you know, I would like to think that if it was, we would have already caught it.
The mayor's state of emergency and curfew order are in effect until further notice, as I understand it. So are you expecting more protests throughout the next few days? And how are you preparing for, you know, I'm sure this won't be the last spasm we're seeing, at least nationally.
Yeah, we are prepared. We have the plan in place, the same one that we had yesterday. You know, we are monitoring everything closely. We're monitoring what's happening, you know, at our large city to our east, Albany, and we're monitoring what's happening locally, or I'm sorry, nationally, and you know, I'm hopeful that we don't have anything moving forward, and you know, the curfew can be lifted sooner than later, but you know, the curfew, you know, I think is a good idea right now, until we see where everything is going nationally on the protest levels. You know, again, peaceful protests are welcome. They're encouraged, actually, but we cannot have agitators come to the peaceful protests and turn them violent, which is certainly what's occurred in Albany and other cities throughout the nation.
You've mentioned the Albany protests a couple of times. What did you make of those?
I just think that, you know, it was unfortunate that it happened. I think that, you know, the peaceful protesters that were there during the day, it's taking away from a lot of the good things that they wanted to do. Many of the people that were at the protest here in Schenectady were also at the one in Albany. So it just goes to show you that they weren't there to cause problems. They were there to peacefully protest. And it was agitators that were in the crowds that you know, that took it to another level, and you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to the city of Albany residents, the Albany Police Department, you know, all law enforcement in that area, and the residents. That, you know, I hope that you know, they can pull together there and decide to unite like we did, and you know, as a community, because Tearing down businesses during this pandemic is not what's needed right now. It's coming together as residents.
Chief, is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to add?
No. I just you know, I wanted to make sure that I give credit where credit is due, and the protesters, the organizers, you know, deserve a lot of credit for opening their hearts to allowing me to come out and talk, and they listened, just like I did. So I want to thank them for that. And, you know, also I want to thank all of my officers. They showed great restraint because, you know, protesters did get loud and animated, and it was their right to do so. But our officers allowed them to do that. They gave them that respect. And so I appreciate everything that they did. And it's not just my officers. There were officers from throughout the county that were here helping us, all the different agencies. So it was a, you know, proud moment for residents of Schenectady City and County yesterday.
Eric Clifford is the chief of police in the city of Schenectady, New York. Chief, thank you so much for your time, and stay safe.
All right. Thank you, too. Take care.
All right. That does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.